Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Mike O'Mara Show. Thursday. Mike O'Mara. Bob Speed. Oscar Santana. Hey, everybody. How you doing? You know what this would be a good day for?
What?
Tell you right now. This would be a good day to hop on a motorcycle. Without a helmet. Yeah, you heard me. Quit your bitching. Feel the road. Feel the wind in your hair. Feel the way America's supposed to feel when you get out on the road and enjoy your Harley. Yeah, that's right, everybody. Thursday on the Mike O'Mara Show. Hope you're having a fantastic day. I know I'm going to have a fantastic day. As a matter of fact, we're debuting a brand new feature on the Mike O'Mara Show. We'll tell you about that in just a couple of seconds. But before we do that, want to make sure everybody's having a fantastic time. Low pressure system coming right over Cuba. That's right, another tropical depression. Hey, we've been in a tropical depression for the whole year, it seems like. Dire Straits, money for nothing, WAPA.
Whoa! That's the way you do it.
Mike, if I were a multimillionaire,
yes,
I would outside of this show, I'd have to pay you a separate salary because I would want that to be my wake-up call every day.
A daunting record to talk about, Mike.
Really,
daunting.
Like if it was just phone rings, you're there with a record player. Yes. And you.
A record player.
A record player. No, I like record player. Record player works for me. Rob, feel free periodically to send me a link, a cut or two for me to do that with.
I love it.
That's the way to wake up. That's the way to get moving.
It's not a requirement. It's not daily. It's just something that if you feel like doing that, please
and send
do.
Him the record too.
Yeah, I will send him. I have that 45. It's so big. It's 8 inches.
Really?
No, not really.
The vinyl record. I mentioned in that talk up there that we are going to do a new feature. I'm not sure when we'll do it, but Thursday always seems appropriate. Mm. Thursday morning on the Mike O'Mara Show, it's a segment we call How Are You Feeling? This is something
we do periodically,
off air, but I thought we'd do it on the air. And we got a room full of people here.
Yeah.
We've got, of course, Mike, Rob, and Oscar. We've got Pony Boy. We've got intern Adrian. Who's the intern I can't see today?
Mac.
Oh, Mac is here. Well, let's start with him, okay? We'll go around the room, and it's just a wonderful way to get the day started because we call this How Are You Feeling? And it's simply a physical update on how each of us is feeling and, you know, my way of taking attendance. Let's go to Mac. Mike McIntosh, he of the retail chain.
Yes.
What's
yes.
it called?
Micro Center.
Micro Center.
Micro Center, yes. Still working at Micro Center?
I'm still working at Micro Center.
Need more cables.
Okay.
That's exciting.
You call that work?
How are you feeling, Mac?
I'm feeling okay. I do need to take my medicine, so I have it right here. I can take it right
now.
What is the medicine for your Addison's disease?
Yes, and many other of my many, many ailments.
Maladies.
Are there any of the ailments that are particularly nagging at you today, or is it just a normal day?
Well, the Addison's is nagging me today.
And what are the symptoms that are the nagging
symptoms? Yeah, how does it manifest itself?
Just upset stomach.
Low.
Oh, sour stomach, Mike.
Sour stomach.
And a little lightheaded.
Don't pass out on the toilet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. By the way, that's the way I feel every day. But we're not at me yet. Anyway, everything's going to be just
Tommy.
He's just keeping it real.
Max
Adrian Garcia, he of the hotel chain. What is your hotel chain, just out of curiosity?
It is the Hampton by Hilton.
Yeah. Oh, the Hampton by Hilton. Right.
Hilton took over Hampton. Okay. And what changes has the Conrad Hilton chain done for the Hampton Inns, Adrian?
Conrad Hampton.
Well, we've always been owned by Hilton.
See, I didn't know. I don't know big hotel.
Just for fun, say
Hilton.
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 That's so hard for you.
That sounds like he needs a pill for that.
That doesn't seem like it's a big of an issue.
Oh.
Welcome to Hampton by Hilton.
Hilton.
I just said
Conrad Hilton. The founder of our chain, Conrad Hilton.
Employee of the month, Mike.
Have you seen that sex tape with Paris Hobson?
So when I see a Hampton... When I've seen and her sister Nikki Hilton, when I see a Hampton Inn, they've always been owned by Hampton.
Sure.
Yes, by Hilton.
Okay. By Hilton. Mm.
Yes.
It almost has. I don't want to get into real big trouble here.
No.
It almost when Adrian says Hilton, it almost sounds like the way they would say Hilton at the Subway sub.
I was right there with you,
JFK.
I was right there with you. I was thinking the same thing.
Subway.
Hey, have you ever been down to the Outer Banks?
No, I have not.
You could go there and stay at Hamptonhead.
Hilton, hey.
It's beautiful.
So how are you feeling, Adrian?
If I'm being honest, Mike, I'm feeling a little overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed.
Really? Overwhelmed emotionally,
yes.
Huh?
Not emotionally, financially.
Financially.
Physically.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
welcome to the world.
Stinks.
Mentally.
Yeah, that's how he's
welcome
feeling.
Welcome to everybody's world.
What if you cut back on the pot?
It's not that.
Oh,
I'd still be tired.
Yeah, it's hard.
I still wouldn't sleep.
No, I don't think that. I think if you cut back on the pot, you would be less tired.
No, because I still wouldn't sleep.
But it's a depressant.
I mean, I don't see how lack of pot helps with my lack of registration renewal.
Oh, your dollars.
Yes,
well,
my dollars.
If you don't buy pot, do you not have more
I'm
money?
I'm having serious deja vu right now.
Yeah, because
we've done this dance before.
Like, how you doing? I'm broke. I'm tired. I'm high. What do you want from me?
Yeah. Carl and I went
and
to
I parked your car
sushi,
and got your coffee.
Sushi
that,
Thai
oh, yeah,
last
thank
night.
You. That's
Carl
a big
and
win.
I went to sushi
I'm
Thai,
a celebrity.
And the total of the bill
yes.
with good service for me, my son, and my wife was $66, which I thought was high, you know, for the fact that I ordered off the happy hour menu and I ordered my sushi off the happy hour.
Did your son drink?
Apple juice.
Well, okay, yeah, because alcohol is what really, that'll prop up the bill.
But it just, because the server did such a great job and in 1 year's time remembered that my son has a peanut allergy, which to me is just, how can I not leave a 20% tip if the server remembered after a year of balls to the wall business at this particular Thai joint that my son had a peanut allergy.
So,
how do I not light somebody up and
so
tip him?
Michael like could never, ever play with Adam Sternberg's rabbit.
Why?
His name is Peanut.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. And neither did 99.857%.
It was a pretty big joke when we were making fun of Adam a couple weeks
how
ago.
Much is
but
it?
The point I was trying to make is everybody, I went out there and I got that bill and I said, I'm like, oh, God. You know, I wanted a little, you know, $35-45
sure.
Cheap sushi dinner and look what happened with the three of us and it's just going out is expensive.
Yeah,
you have to be aware. But I mean, we're all fighting that battle.
I had pop chips for dinner last night.
You had pop chips for dinner?
Yeah, because I looked at Chan and I was like, you're sick. I guess you're not going to make the blue apron. And I was like, I guess I'll have these pop chips.
Now, did you expect...
Can't wait to get married.
When you said, I guess I'll have these pop chips.
Let me make sure that I've got the right theme.
Sure, I'm going to squeeze into my tux with these pop chips in my stomach.
Yeah.
Let me make sure that I've got this.
Yeah. Did you expect a reply?
How are you feeling?
Peach, I'm not sick. I'll make you something. Or did you just know that it wasn't going to happen?
No, I walked in and I heard the... and then... smelled nothing except for the dog. And I said,
Santa's.
Well, I guess the blue apron didn't get made tonight. So
you
said,
had pop chips for dinner?
I said, Peach, what's the story with the blue apron? She goes, oh, I just haven't been feeling. I said, I guess I'll eat these pop chips. And then I made a big, big ruckus with opening the bag because I guess I was so hungry. I was trying to tell her I'm starving. I don't want to eat these, but I'll have to eat them.
You're putting on a show.
Yeah, and then she said...
You dramatic queen.
She said, they're sea salt. You'll like them. No! I want Blue Apron!
Sea salt.
Mike, once you're close to the wedding, all bets are off, and a pep talk is coming saying that we're going down the road that we built. There is not a new road.
What kind of illness does she have?
She's sick. She says she has the flu. I made her sleep on the couch. I can't.
Tony, how are you?
Can't let
how
the
are
instrument
you
get dirty.
I'm feeling tired, Mike. I'm tired.
Your boy's tired.
Why so tired?
Just a little hungover.
Oh, you had a little drinky last night?
I call it an angry Mike. It's basically...
This guy always.
Yeah, his life is hell, isn't it?
What is the? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. It's just like being in a gulag, isn't it, Pony? So what's in the angry Mike?
Oh, it's just a big martini.
Yeah.
It's extra big.
Yeah. He's always classy.
Yeah.
I'll have a martini.
Keep it classy.
Extra big. Right. You moron.
What are the rules for someone getting married when they're sick?
You got to power through, right? People are coming. You got people.
I mean, odds are with all of your weddings, Mike, you've been sick for at least one of them, right?
I've been sick 10 minutes after almost everyone except for number three. Thank you. Thank you very much. Had to catch myself there. Rob, how are you feeling?
I believe it was Tucker Barnes on the Channel 5 Weather who said, remember, the air quality is orange. So if you're susceptible to breathing problems, you're going to have a rough day. So with the fall weather pouring in and the leaves falling and molding, I have got a great, great cough, tickle constantly at the back of my throat. Plus, with the amount of asthma and breathing medicines I'm on, I have a dry mouth that will not quit. If I don't pay attention, my tongue will fuse to the top
of
my mouth.
Got to get your agua. Got to hydrate.
My water is in the form of ginger ale with a lot of sugar. So, you know what? When you always are feeling that you're ready to cough, you feel like crap.
Yeah, I think I might have a little something in the back of my throat. I'm feeling kind of run down.
Oh, no.
I got a little tickle back there, and my kid has that hand, foot, mouth.
Hoof and mouth disease, yeah.
And then we were told yesterday someone in the know told us that that particular malady, lots of kids have it, and that we could have sent him to school on Monday, although we waited till Wednesday. Once the fever is over, it was a cosmetic choice, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I don't think it's that because I don't have any of the bumps or anything, but I just feel run down, and I felt run down for the last 3 days, and it's hot down here. I should mention that
it's
hot.
I
feel low energy today. I don't know what the hell the problem is. It's just terrible. Oscar, how are you feeling?
Feel terrible. I took an Ambien. You got to really fight your way out of that guy. Fight your way out of that guy.
Ambien really does make you sleep, but it makes me just low energy for like 36 hours after I take it. Maybe it's because I take it with booze.
Oh, God.
That's not good, suicide.
Though.
Hey, I'm still here, aren't I?
If it's a sleeping pill like Ambien and you take it, aren't you supposed to take one and then go to sleep at 9 o'clock and wake up at 7 o'clock refreshed and all that?
The instructions say, but I find it's much more effective if you take one and a half with a few beers. Then do you really sleep?
That's terrible. Rob Spiewak is his own drummer on this. And how long does it really? Do you find that the Ambien lingers for a while?
So I take it at 9 o'clock. I'm in. I jump in the crypt like at 10. Right. So I'm laying in there.
Is that your marital bed? The crypt.
Why I call it that? Because when you go to bed, when you're on Ambien, you go to bed. You better get somewhere quick. Because you don't know. I mean, you might as well jump in a ditch because you're going to sleep wherever you are, right?
So you don't want to be taking it, on the way home.
No.
One time I woke up after Ambien and I had written 5 Christmas cards that I didn't remember writing.
Really?
And I opened them up and they were full of nonsensical truths.
Wow.
Like I said something really hurtful towards one of my uncles. I'm glad I didn't send it.
So I have Shannon swaddle me, throw me in the bed, and essentially I wake up. At what, 7:30, right?
Yeah, feeling refreshed or feeling logy?
I feel great.
Logy.
Take a shower. The shower dusts off a little of the Ambien, but as the day progresses, like right now, and as I was getting here, I said, man, Like, I probably have to take this Ambien at 7 p.m. and go to bed at 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably going to be earlier.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's everybody accounted for. We got
I feel horrible.
Rob, we got Oscar. I feel bad. Rob feels bad.
Bad.
Let's see. Adrian also. Mac feels like crap pony. Pot's right. Let's start the show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by. The lovely Schneider twins, Anita and Shotzi, and Dr. Joyce Brothers. I can't thank you enough for being here. You've made it a very special night for me. And I hope we can all get together and do it again. Thank you. Good night.
You're the elevator killer. Merv Griffin.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I've always just loved to kill. I've really enjoyed it. But then I got famous and just too hard for me. I mean, so many witnesses. I mean, everybody recognized me. I couldn't even lurk anymore. I'd hear, who's that lurking over there? Isn't that Merv Griffin? So I came to Europe to kill. And it's really worked out very well for me. Till now.
She's beautiful.
Yeah, isn't she?
This may be the one thing that saves our marriage.
Hey, you gonna turn me in?
I don't have time. You're gonna have to turn yourself in. Promise me.
I promise.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Piper Studios in our nation's capital. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, a worldwide podcast and radio show with loyal listeners who get it. If you're here, you are in the know. We are on air, on demand, and heard 24/7 on the new TMOS app. Update it now and get our show all day, every day. You can reach us at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by Draft. Hey, fantasy football fans. Yes, fantasy football fans. Listen, you're going to love Draft. We love Draft. It's the one app that really has figured out how to make fantasy football easy. With Draft, you play real, live snake drafts with other people, just like in a season-long league. Here's how it works. The draft lasts for just a week, and there's no management, no salary caps. Just set it and forget it. And once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of last-minute injuries for you. Drafts start every couple of minutes, so you can join one right now.
When?
Right now. And the best part, cold hard cash. Drafts start from just a dollar, so there's a draft for everyone. Now, I use PlayDraft.com. That's the other website on your computer if you're using it like I do. Come and join us on Draft today. Download the app anytime. Just search Draft in your app store and join a game in minutes or play right from your computer on PlayDraft.com. The choice is yours. For a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit, but you got to use the promo code TMOS. That's right. Play a real money game for free just for using promo code TMOS on your first deposit on Draft. Just search Draft in the App Store or go to PlayDraft.com and play free with promo code TMOS. Is everything sounding okay? Because I feel like since you guys told me to tweak things, that things are a little... And I felt like I could hear myself breathing through my nose.
Now you can.
No, yeah, you spotlighted it.
You sounded great earlier.
Does it sound okay now?
It sounds good now.
It does.
Just checking. Yes. Just making sure that everything is fine.
Welcome A-okay.
To the Mike O'Mara Show. Should I feel, we lead with this today.
Okay.
Should I feel guilty for being sad today that Hugh Hefner is no longer with us? Should I feel sad about that?
You can never apologize for your feelings, Mike.
If, Carla caught me by surprise because I had not turned on my morning news yet. And Hugh Hefner died yesterday. Natural causes at the Playboy Mansion in L.A. He was surrounded by his loved ones. That's where we'll get to that in a second. But when I think of loved ones, he was 91 years old. The mansion sold for $100 million last month. But the new owner had to let Hef live there until he died. Kind of a good deal for the new owner, I would think.
You know, it's also like saying, you know, that happened faster than getting the painting done.
It's a pretty good deal.
That's a sunset clause if I ever heard one.
Listen, for the kids, it is. For the kids that don't understand and might not know, Hugh Hefner kickstarted the sexual revolution when he published the first Playboy magazine in 1953.
Mm.
That is 6 years before I was even born, and that had Marilyn Monroe as the centerfold.
It predates rock and roll. I mean, yeah. If you think about it, it's ancient.
Mm-hmm. Some of the money he used to launch the magazine came from his mama.
Mother.
Which is interesting. He didn't even put a date on the cover because he didn't think there would be a second issue.
Mother Hefner.
Kind of like this podcast. I thought the podcast might be good for a couple of years, and look at us now. Yeah. We're going into our ninth year, which is
pretty cool.
We're
going to be on, God willing, a decade in a couple of years.
Wow.
I'll be 91 and we'll be doing the podcast.
Yes.
That will
when
be
you die
really
of natural
special.
Causes?
When I die of natural causes, but I'm going to do it on the podcast.
Show title when you pass. Mike's sunset.
Sunset of a life.
We'll just weekend at Bernie's.
Now, for years and years and years, when magazines were more relevant than they are today, magazines are still popular.
Sure.
You just have apps like Texture where you can get them, and I think that would have been... You know, I was always kind of bummed that Texture didn't have Playboy on it. I always thought, does Texture have Playboy?
I don't think
is it
does.
Fair
I don't
to
think
say
I've seen it. We'd see it. We'd
that
see it
that Hugh Hefner, and this is for the younger generation. By younger, I mean even younger than my age, 39, right?
Oh, my God, the kids.
Is that Hugh Hefner was like Steve Jobs for
Jobs of the sexual, revolution.
Sexual revolution. Mm-hmm. Yes.
He truly was... You joke about, I only read it for, I read Playboy for the articles.
Right.
But the fact was that the Playboy interview, as the magazine grew in popularity, so did the significance of the Playboy interview. And it became, for a while there, a standard for somebody who was in the public eye to do the Playboy interview.
And it was the first skin mag, for lack of a better word, to legitimize itself because
skin
of
wins.
That. Yeah. It does.
But the bottom line with Playboy growing up as a kid in the 60s and 70s, Playboy was kind of like, you just wanted to see who the centerfold was. It was exciting.
Yeah.
And there were rites of passage with Playboy that I was talking about just a couple of weeks ago, where if you would read the centerfold, they would give the date of birth of the Playboy Playmate. And that was very early on a way that young men got a sense of their own mortality. If you were older than the centerfold, you knew... You were getting old.
I remember the first time I saw a centerfold that was younger than me.
Right.
It was in college.
You notice it. You
I was on the third floor of Johnson Hall, and we were passing them around. And I said,
mm-hmm.
She's born in 1972?
What? Oh my God! What? Help me!
Very bad feeling.
And a lot of celebrities spawned from that magazine.
Oh, mm-hmm. Absolutely! They did all the interviews: Martin Luther King, Betty Davis, the Beatles.
Will be in your magazine, but I don't want to pose.
Here's Hefner's son, Cooper. Here's what he says. He says, quote, "My father lived an exceptional and impactful life as a media and cultural pioneer and a leading voice behind some of the most significant social and cultural movements of our time in advocating free speech, civil rights, and sexual freedom." All that is very, very true. And I guess Cooper is putting naked babes back in the magazine.
Because remember, it was 2 or 3 years ago that they said no more.
Misstep.
I think that's wonderful that he's doing that. I think that's I give him a.
I haven't seen a Playboy at anyone's house in I would say at least 5 to 10 years.
It's been a long time, and I remember back in the day when I was a kid, I told the story about going up to New Hampshire to my father's college roommate, and they had a son who was in Vietnam or had come back from Vietnam, was not living in the house, and I stayed in his bedroom. And I opened the closet door of his bedroom, and they were having a party downstairs, and I was going upstairs
to watch
TV.
Sure. And
fondue bourbon.
tipping little pieces of toast into scotch.
No, I don't think there was any food stuff. I think there was a lot of canapé, a lot of cracker.
Sure.
And so I went upstairs where I was going to watch TV and opened the closet door, and up to my shoulder was a stack of... Every issue. I think maybe almost every issue that had been released
Fantastic.
Up until that point of Playboy magazine. And, Mom yelled up, "You okay up there, Mike?" "Yes, I'm fine, Mom." "Yes, I'm fine." And I had the Playboys that were all over the the bed, and I was it was like Nirvana for me. I'll never forget that. It was special. I'm going to give the bio stuff because I think it's important. Heff's long list of cameos, appearing as himself: Beverly Hills Cop 2, Fresh Prince of Bel Air, Saturday Night Live. He did that in 1977.
Oh, God.
That's the year of my 18th birthday.
40 years ago.
Hugh had 4 kids and was married 3 times to Mildred Williams from 1949 to 59. Hard to believe he was married to a Mildred.
Harder to believe that he got married in 1949.
Yeah, I know. Kimberly Conrad, we remember that one, 89 to 2010. And Crystal Harris, I don't even remember her. That's 2012 until he passed. She's 31 years old.
She was the one that left with... Dr. Phil.
The twins or something.
With Dr. Phil's son. Left him for Dr. Phil's son and then came right back after Dr. Phil's son dumped her and then married him.
Wow.
Little Skippy McGraw.
I just thought it'll be interesting to see how the estate plays out. Although I'm not sure how much of the estate is rocking and rolling. Playboy, because with the digital age, fell on kind of hard times, and he sold the mansion. But he's still got, I'm sure he's got a lot of money. It'll be interesting to see what
The property alone, think about the property's $100 million plus dollars, right?
Yeah, gotta
right.
be.
So,
yeah,
and the name, he still owns the name.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that's got to be in that slot machines. We've seen those.
How come the bio didn't mention the Playboy clubs?
Well, the Playboy clubs were in the 1960s, and tons of celebrities are paying tribute. Pat Patton, our friend Patton Oswalt, said it best, quote, "As per his wishes, Hugh Hefner's body will be left in a fort in the woods for other kids to find and pass around." If you grew up pre-internet, that's hilarious. If not, have your dad or a cool uncle explain it to you what Patton's talking about. I hate to have to explain the joke, but I will. For you kids out there, you take your dad's Playboy magazines and you'd hide them out in the woods and you'd take them. And it was just, my memories of Playboy are significant. And then, back, I don't know, was it the 70s where The Competitor came out, Penthouse, and Bob Guccione, who, made a dirtier magazine than Playboy. And I
was that the one with the pen lights?
That was Hustler.
Hustler, forgive
that
me.
That was Larry Flint's Hustler. Which
also
was just,
great.
I wouldn't call it great. I wouldn't call it.
And then
Hustler
there's
great.
The lower ones, Mike, We and Cherie and all the great magazines.
Swank
is a good one.
Swank.
Club.
Club is another good one.
Club magazine. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, it used to be the day I would go in to Hartford, Connecticut, which was the city next to my hometown, and they would have your traditional city newsstands there.
Yep.
And I remember a couple of times getting the courage up to actually go up and buy a Playboy magazine. And I also bought a copy of We that I kept. We had up in Maine, we had a Playboy magazine that someone had left. And of course, my family was up at our family house up in Maine. And before the cousins would get up there, Teddy, Billy, and John.
Right.
And I found a Playboy. And it was just like my golden ticket that I had.
Yeah.
It's just so I don't know. I felt an incredible. This is the end of an era. When you
important
think of,
culturally.
As a 58-year-old guy, you kind of say, oh, I remember the day, but it's hard
also,
to believe 91.
Outside of his traditional film career or cameos, he had a reality show. The Girls Next Door lasted for years on E! Television, right?
Right.
Yeah,
for years.
It was for years. And then there would be the routine articles that would be written by the Playmates that would tell the stories of Hef behind the scenes.
Right.
Most recently, like when he was 80. And they talked about all of his habits, and it would give disc jockeys across America fodder on what to talk about with.
How would you become Playmate of the Year? You had to sleep with him, right? That was the allegation.
One I remember. Do you remember that he loved baby oil?
Baby oil. That
yes.
was. Now we don't know if this is
allegedly
or whether it's true that Hef apparently would cover himself in oil, and and there was not. It was not. Let's just say it was not normal. Sexual behavior.
No, it was a lot of
Or
oil.
Let's just say traditional sexual behavior.
He was oversexed. He needed to do all kinds of kinky things, allegedly,
absolutely,
just to get involved.
I need a little more.
And by the way, Matt Lauer on the Today Show this morning said, if you want to get into an argument at a cocktail party, bring up the name Hugh Hefner. It still works. He's absolutely right.
True.
You could go to a mixed cocktail party with men and women there, and you could probably have a pretty spirited discussion of what he was all about and what his legacy is. But I will tell you this. this is the thought that I had. And I said, and in fact, Carla didn't necessarily agree with me. I said he was surrounded by loved ones, and I kind of chuckled. Because I think we all, at least I do, I imagine Hugh Hefner surrounded by loved ones that, you know, were the bunnies. Like
yeah.
But you know what? I think that's kind of judging a man without knowing the truth. Where, yeah, you know, okay, they might be bunnies. They might be
But obviously he had
the,
kids. I mean, because Cooper is taking over. And he has a daughter that also helped run the industry for
Christy
a while.
Christy Hefner.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm, I think
and
that's
then
right.
Cooper, is Cooper Christy's son? Is that who Cooper is?
I thought Cooper was his son.
He had a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
Also.
Because he had a lot of sex.
Little known
yeah.
fact.
Cooper is his son.
Okay.
Little known fact. Yeah. He bought the parcel, the property behind his property, behind the Playboy Mansion, and built a home for his essential ex-wife.
Yes.
And that's where his kids live. They would actually cross the property through the backyard to come see their father.
Narnia.
He reminded me of something that I had forgotten about. Do you remember a couple of years ago when there were actually plans drawn up that like four Hollywood celebrities were going to build tunnels to the mansion? And I think one of them was James Caan.
He was a regular.
All from their homes?
Yes, for secret access to the mansion.
Do you remember on the old Don and Mike show when we would, when we, for a while there, we were really hot to trot to get an invite to the mansion that
yes.
we never got, that we never got
every,
to go
everybody
out
wanted
we,
to
well,
get out
we
there.
Got, here's how close we got, Oscar, is that our producer at the time, Charlie, wouldn't,
yep.
his cell phone would not accept calls from blocked numbers. That it was programmed to just not even accept them. And Dick Van Patten, who was a friend of Hef's for the card game that they would play, arranged to have us come to the mansion.
Wow.
And when the call came through, it was from a blocked number, so we never got
it. Oh, my God.
That's Rob, after all these years, throwing Charlie Broyhill under the bus. Well, really,
hey.
Which is really you.
Mike, it's the bus of
that.
It's the bus of facts is what
I
it is.
I don't remember that. That bugs you, doesn't
but
it?
It does.
That
it
bugs
does.
You. Yeah, because that was Charlie, wasn't
but
it?
But as
was Charlie
of,
kind of sneaky, clandestine Charlie.
Candlestine. But I do know this, that my dad's father, who I never met, he passed before I was born, went to the Playboy Club in Chicago, and in my house I have a rocks glass from the Playboy Club, an original rocks glass,
and they didn't last that long.
No, because it was a bad business model, I think.
I see. I don't get that. No, I think what it was it perhaps that they were too exclusive? Is that what the problem was?
Yeah, that's what I was sort of alluding to. Is that
if the Playboy Club had been
more
say,
accessible,
a la Hooters,
Hooters, yeah,
it might have been
TGI Fridays.
TGI Fridays. Look, that business model has proven successful with the Tilted Kilt and
sure.
your
oh, yeah.
Twin
yeah.
Peaks.
Twin Peaks.
We have a Twin Peaks that just opened up recently down here.
Family friendly,
you know,
fantastic. Family friendly.
He just came out of the ambient.
Family friendly.
Yeah, Oscar's thinking curly fries.
Family friendly. Can I say this?
You should take little Michael there.
You know what? I can't. I can't.
Why? Little Michael should take him there.
Because it's the same way with the topless pool and the twin, like 60-year-old guys that were there. Look. Every man looks. You're going to look till you're dead. Okay?
Yes.
Hef proved that.
Yes.
Right?
Sure.
Yes.
But the fact is, it just kind of grosses me out down here when you know, when you roll into a place like a Hooters and you have the guys. Some might say, well, Mike, isn't your entire marriage that way? I said, yes, you might be right. Yes. So anyway, safe home. Hugh Hefner.
Yes.
Cultural icon. And I do feel, you know, a little piece of me died.
Oh, Mike. Stuff. You've lost your Jerry Lewis.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't make an umbrella joke again. All right. We're going to take a break.
Show ain't over yet.
Come back with more fun and more thrills. I want to talk a little about Puerto Rico when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Cake and cookies.
Hey there. This is Katie from the Cake and Cookies Show. This week, Rob falls down. The Von Hermans evacuate Savannah, and I find the short girl's best friend. Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's the Rob and Katie Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Brought to you by Wonderbly. Remember those wonderful personalized books called Lost My Name? Yeah. The creators now have more personalized books that you will love. I got one based on Willy Wonka.
Isn't that amazing?
Factory. And that should be coming to my son really, really
Can't
soon.
Wait.
These are beautiful books entirely about your child, all from Wonderbly.com. That's the new website. Wonderbly, one-of-a-kind personalized products that you make in minutes. Rob, these are just tremendous books.
Gorgeous. They really, really the are. Artwork is really eye-catching, and it doesn't look like they've just plugged the name in. It looks like it's a published book about your son. Yes.
They have beautiful illustrations. They're truly a keepsake. Check out the entire range of personalized books, great for all ages, at Wonderbly.com. www.wonderbly.com. Lost My Name for kids 0 to 8 years old. My Golden Ticket is a book for age 5 to 12, even though I cheated because I have a 4-year-old.
He's advanced.
I got him a 5-year-old one. A new personalized book fresh from Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. I love this book. I cannot wait to get it and show it to you.
I want to hear you read it with your voices.
Yes. Now any child can be Charlie. And The Birthday Thief for kids 3 to 8. It's a personalized birthday story that's magically changed based on your child's date of birth. Go to wonderbly.com and be a hero. If you're the uncle, the aunt, the grandfather, the grandmother, just the family friend, enter the little one's name in a full preview of their story will show up for you. Enter code TMOS at checkout. That's very important to get 15% off your order. You want to do that. So it's wonderbly.com. Enter the code to get 15% off your order, wonderbly.com today, and we would love you to
please do
them. I love that client. They're one of my favorite sponsors, and get involved with them today. You know, there's a big story that's each day goes by being pushed deeper down the food chain as far as the news cycle, and Puerto Rico becomes less and less of the top story, and I'm seeing it happening. And anybody that's paid any close attention to what's going on that island should be aware that those people are in desperate situations with food, water, fuel, everything becoming more and more scarce every day. I think that all Americans at this point should take off their political boxing gloves and not make this whether Trump is doing this, whether he's not. I don't care about that.
This is humanity, folks.
I've watched this closely enough to know that the United States is sending aid. I'm not sure all the, you know, a 1,000,000% effort by the United States government would compensate Puerto Rico for the losses that they've had right now. And that's why we said that we wanted to get involved a little bit and share some information to you. If you would like to help the people of Puerto Rico, listen, I've been through a Cat 2 and a borderline Cat 3 here. I've seen what happens. But comparatively, and by the way, here in Florida, I went on a ride on Sunday for victims of Irma. We raised a lot of money for Southwest Florida, and Carla's actually going down, I think today or tomorrow, to Habitat for Humanity, where there are pantries that are open. People still desperately need food down here, but the immediate need right now, when you look at the island of Puerto Rico, it resonated with me that they are isolated. It resonated with me that they went through a Cat 5 and just had
their entire world. It's not the same.
Decimated.
It's not
it's decimated.
The same.
Almost obliterated. And thank God they've got concrete homes like we did down here in South Florida. But they're in need. And I thought we'd throw out some websites if you want to help the people of Puerto Rico. We have a very, very generous listening audience. And please take the time to listen to Rob Spiewak and jot this down if you get a moment.
One thing that is so great now with the age of the internet, it is easy to donate and make a difference. Redcross.org. Remember, that's redcross.org. You can point and click your amount and where you want your money to go. Be very specific. It's easy to help out. Same thing at unicefusa.org. That's unicefusa.org. You can be specific. Donate any amount. I mean, skip your coffee today and send $5.
Yes.
You'll make a difference. This is my favorite, though. If you just Google United for Puerto Rico. That is actually a website, UnidosPorPuertoRico.com, and it was founded by the First Lady of Puerto Rico. And because of her proximity and her connection to the island, this is going to definitely be a way that the money can go
direct dollars.
It is most needed. So remember, UnidosPorPuertoRico.com, or just Google United for Puerto Rico and toss in a few bucks, make a difference. You'll feel good, I promise.
Yeah, may I mention something
ahead,
about
just
Puerto Rico in general? I get to have in-depth conversations with my father, who was in disaster relief for 20 plus years. And outside of him spending a couple years in Puerto Rico,
right.
And when he was a younger man, he he generally said that these type of storms and this type of effect is you just don't see it in modern times, right?
Right. Right.
I mean, you could talk about Katrina, you could talk about what happened in the Key West here with Maria, but he goes, the devastation there is beyond what anyone would expect. It's the things you read about in textbooks.
Yeah, you can't comprehend it. You can't wrap your head around it.
One of the things that I saw all over the news yesterday, and I don't know how to help with this, but I'm throwing this out there just randomly with no information. But isn't that the American way?
Sure.
They said a mountain of food, water, and other vital supplies has arrived in Puerto Rico's main port of San Juan, but a shortage of truckers and the island's devastated infrastructure are making it tough to move aid. I was watching the governor of Puerto Rico yesterday talking about how they need truck drivers.
Right.
And because the cell towers are all wiped out and the electricity's out on so much of the island, they can't get the word out to these guys that drive trucks. I have no idea if you're a motivated individual and you happen to be a truck driver that can drive a semi. But the fact is, they need truck drivers down there. You know, and here's the thing. This is the quote from the governor, Ricardo Rossello. He said, when we say that we don't have truck drivers, we mean that we have not been able to contact them. So they've got truck drivers on the island, but they just can't contact them. And it says that the shipping company Crowley is one of the companies that have aid and supplies waiting at the port to be delivered or held up at ports in the mainland United States. They said it has 3,000 containers sitting at the port of San Juan, filled with clothes, food, medicine, water, construction materials, and even cars. But one of the other problems is even getting the truck drivers, the island is so
communications
messed up with concrete you know, phone lines and power lines across the street. It's very difficult, but still they do immediately have a need for this. So I'm not sure what's going to happen. I will keep eyes on this, but pay attention to what Rob said.
What would, again, put yourselves in that position. If you can't communicate with someone and you don't know how, especially a mass communication, right?
Right.
What are the options?
Yeah, it's very, very difficult.
Like in a world of picking up, going in your pocket, picking up a device and calling somebody.
Well, they've been knocked back 100 years.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking even in the terms of loudspeakers and sending out loudspeakers if you're, you know, with a giant bus. And so if you're a truck driver,
skywriting,
we need, you know, skywriting, that type of thing.
Yeah.
You might have to resort to, you know, unusual. The airport's only recently been open for air traffic control. So it's
banners that
it's
fly
very, very
over
difficult.
The city like an ocean city.
Exactly.
Instead of
I've
green turtle specials.
Rico, you know, I've been to San Juan, and the fact is, it's just it's devastating. And
you can you I know, say I'm, something I'm, about San Juan? Yeah, I was just ahead. There 2 years ago for my brother's bachelor party. 3 years ago,
you
whatever.
Took your drone down there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I had a great time. Right, I'll say this:
most people get there by boat. Oscar went by drone.
He flew on the top of his drone.
You see that, especially old San Juan. You see that old city, and you're like, this has been here for and mind you, it's there still. But the people you look at that fort and you look at that town and you're like, man, this history of hundreds and hundreds of years, it'll never go anywhere. There'll be nothing. The people are so nothing doesn't matter what goes through here. And then you look at the news now. You watch what's being covered. You're like, I can't believe that's Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's truly, truly a direct hit on a major population center. And it's really, you know, yes, it's an island, as the president said, surrounded by lots and lots of water. You know, I'm tired of the, I'm really, really sick of everything being turned into a political debate. So, you know, listen to, give those addresses one more time so we can make sure people want to help, they can help. And hopefully they will get their act together and figure out how to get these supplies to people there. And, you know, it's going to take months, if not years, to get this island back to where it should be. You know, we look at our problems down here in Southwest Florida, where there are still FEMA centers and there are still soup kitchens and there are still food centers where people are getting food because they've been that whacked. And people, the thing that, here's the number one thing people forget. You see a disaster like this and you say, oh, people don't have phone, they don't have fuel, they don't have food. You don't realize all these people on Puerto Rico, all of them have lost their jobs. There is no income for them right now. There is nothing happening on that island. It is terrifying. And this is when I just want to say one more thing based on my own personal experience down here. On our local news, there is not a night that goes by where there are not 3, 4, 5 phenomenal stories of people chipping in and people, strangers going out to somebody's house who was stranded, somebody helping out pets, somebody helping out an old World War II vet by tarping his house so water doesn't get in when we get rain down here. It's this is when we all, throw all this political crap out the window and just band together and help everybody. So I just wanted to share that.
So remember, it's just a few clicks. This will literally take you seconds. Redcross.org, UNICEFUSA.org, or UnidosPorPuertoRico.com, which you can get at by Googling United for Puerto Rico.
Perfect.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to bestow a wonderful honor on Northern Virginia. That's right. Northern Virginia, a special, special thing for you. You're going to love it if you're from where Rob Spiewak is from.
Yay.
We'll take a break and come back with more fun right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Let's get to know our friends at KCJJ. Tom Suter. He loves to play guitar. He was a member of the popular rock and roll group, the B-52s. Tom stands an impressive 7'2" in his bare feet. Tom loves to tinker in his workshop and is responsible for inventing the bottle cap, cocktail sauce, and the scotch tape dispenser. Tom is happily married now, but escorted Jill Clayburgh to the 1978 Oscars and got to third base. Tom studied baking for 9 years and made the wedding cake for many of Larry King's marriages. And Tom owns a magic stapler. But mostly, Tom is the general manager of radio station KCJJ, airing the Mike O'Mara Show since 2009. Thank you, Tom. And thank you, KCJJ.
1630 KCJJ.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by? Sleep Number.
Nice.
You've heard me talk about Sleep Number. I love Sleep Number. I do. We were talking about Rob Spiewak being the Rob Spiewak 360 Smart Rob, but no, it's the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed. Let me tell you about this. It is fantastic. It lets you choose your ideal firmness and support on each side of the bed. That's your Sleep Number setting. And with new responsive air technology, this bed senses your every move and automatically adjusts to you so you stay sleeping comfortably throughout the night without drugs, Oscar.
Yeah,
do you know
Oscar.
How many of us fall asleep faster on our feet if our feet are gently warmed? Sleep Number 360 Smart Beds can even pre-warm each side of the bed, so it's just right for both of you. Remember, Sleep Number beds cost about the same as a traditional mattress.
True.
And they last twice as long. I'm sleeping on two of them, one up in Maine, one down here in Florida, and they're fantastic. Best of all, 91% of owners recommend them, and I'm one of those 91% because I love my Sleep Number as much as anything in my home. My Sleep Number setting's an 85, Carlos is a 65, and last night my Sleep IQ score was a 90, and I feel great. Time that you met the bed that does all of it, and Sleep Number can do that at a Sleep Number store. Come in now and enjoy introductory savings of $200 to $400 on the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed. Plus, ask about 48-month financing. There are more than 550 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Call 800-511-0061 or visit sleepnumber.com to find the store near you and be absolutely sure to tell them that Mike O'Mara sent you. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Thursday. I almost forgot. He is standing by, ladies and gentlemen, the prognosticator of Pahrump, Nevada. We're talking, of course, about Nikki Diamond. Do we have music for this segment that you texted me? We have to get on the show.
Thought you were going to do your other one first.
No,
Nikki Diamond.
You want to make Nikki Diamond? Are you there, my friend?
Yes. Good morning, gentlemen.
There he is. Turn him up, Rob. I can't hear him. Like I couldn't hear him last week. Hello,
turn
Nikki,
me up,
how are
baby.
You? There you go. I want to hear Nikki Diamond on in my headphones. There he is, Nikki. Always a pleasure to talk fantasy football with the prognosticator of Pahrump, Nevada. Are you still living in the group home with the college students?
I am, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
Uh-oh.
Not sure if you guys heard it. Maybe you're doing your mailbag segment or something, but
no.
Hugh Hefner died. Yeah, he died.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. That would be basically the first 40 minutes of the show, Nikki. Thanks for listening. We appreciate that.
I didn't know.
Yeah, sorry.
I thought
about that.
Maybe Bermuda Boy had a long story or something, and he didn't get to it.
Bonita Boy.
Bermuda Boy.
Bermuda Boy.
Oh, Bermuda Boy. Yeah. No, Nikki, we already talked about half. I know that you're a big Playboy fan, Nikki, aren't you?
Big fan. I once almost had sex with Anna Nicole Smith.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
How did that work out? I'd love to hear that story.
I was at a bar, she was in the same bar, and she had sex with the guy that was at a table near me. So,
so that's how you call it, you almost had sex with
him. Hey, you know, feng shui of the room. It didn't sit right for me, I guess.
Nikki, we never get to this, but how is your love life?
Oh, his love life.
How is everything going?
Well, I'm a bit of a player. You know, these college kids I live with, they occasionally bring over some ladies, and nothing's happening, actually. Nothing.
Okay, I'm sorry. Nothing's happening.
You don't ever spy or watch them, do you?
If they happen to be near my room, the door's ajar, what a fan.
Nikki.
Hey, Hugh Hefner, he made a living. He was a billionaire because of that.
That's
I'm
true.
A pervert, whatever. We all think.
Okay. No, you're not a pervert, Nikki. But I do just want to, for clarity's sake, because we really never talk about your personal details. How old a man are you, Nikki? Because I don't think we've ever asked.
No,
that
we never
question.
Have.
Well, it's kind of rude to ask a man his age.
No, it's rude to ask a woman, Nikki. It's not rude to ask a guy how old he is. It doesn't really matter.
I don't identify with a gender. I'm 48 years old.
Right? 48.
Okay.
Yeah. 48 living in a house of college frat boys.
Roughly the same age as me.
That's it.
That's nice.
Nikki, Nikki, I have to say, you do sound perky today. Sounds like you're doing pretty well. So maybe you're straightening your life out a little bit.
How did it go at the fair last week?
Oh, good times at the fair. The booth didn't really work out. Apparently they didn't see the need for fantasy football advice.
Sure.
I think it was the sign above your booth, take an E with Nikki.
Yeah. It's divisive.
That's why he's on the show, folks. That's why he's on the show.
Nikki, it's time to do what you do, my friend. It's time to talk football. Get to it, because we know people are waiting. They're hanging on your every word about fantasy football, Nikki Diamond. Take it away, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I got a great Diamond pick of the week this week. This guy has been struggling all year, but last week in the second half against Tennessee, he really took over the game. They didn't come back and win, but Russell Wilson was a beast in the second half. He will continue that. The Sunday night game in Seattle against the Colts. Russell Wilson, at least 35 fantasy points. He will light them up, baby!
And Nikki, nice. Now that we always do this, we get the light him up, but then we also get the Merle.
Yeah,
do you have a Merle for us this week?
Not only do I have a Merle, this is a drunk Merle. No doubt about it. The New York Giants, they are desperate. They're 0-3. They can't go to 0-4. They're going to go down to Tampa Bay. They're a 3-point underdog, but they're going to win straight up. It's a sure thing. It's a Merle. Lock it up.
Thank you so much, Nikki. So long, Nikki Diamond. There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. 48-year-old Nikki Diamond.
That's the drunk Merle. That's the drunk Merle.
That's the way it goes now, right? We get the Diamond pick of the week and then the Merle, which is the sure thing. If the Giants don't beat Tampa,
you know there are TMOS fan club members that just bet his bets.
Oh yes, absolutely. That's it. Well, you got to do that. Yeah. And by the way, if the Giants go 0-4, it'll make it'll just be to me one more terrible Sunday.
That's fun to watch though, nationally, because you got to figure. I mean, again, for a family that's not used to losing, the Mannings. They're just not used to losing.
Yes.
Right.
It is certainly interesting to find out when they're going to humanize themselves, because you can't continue losing and be a robot at the podium.
But is Eli really a Manning?
Let me tell you what I'm going to do. Hold on just a second. What I'm going to do is I am going to, if the Giants lose to Tampa and they go 0-4,
yes,
I'm going to add something to the Nikki Diamond list, okay? Because he's got the Diamond pick of the
Diamond
week.
Pick
he's
of the
got
week.
The Merle, which is his sure thing. I'm going to add the Eli factor, because every week I'll ask him about the Giants and I will call it the Diamond Rocky Road. I want the Rocky Road. Rocky Road for Eli Manning. Which, and by the way, I don't like to put it all on the shoulders of Eli Manning, who happens to be, had a very strong second half against the Philadelphia Eagles. But the fact is that, the Giants overall, it's depressing. There's nothing more depressing in the NFL. I'm talking specifically with football. If your team goes 0-3 out of the gate, there's nothing.
0-2 immediately messes you up. 0-3, the percentage of even making the playoffs goes down. Single digits.
0-3 is horrible. Now it is desperation. You go 0-4, that is all she wrote.
That's
it. Effectively over. There is a teeny tiny chance if they can win that game, but it's very discouraging week in, week out to see your team that disastrous.
Well, I believe
When it's a team that should do better, like the New York Giants.
I used to work with a very talented broadcaster and a sportsman, and his name was Larry Michael. And what he said was this.
Larry Michael. And by the way, Larry Michael, the Washington Redskins.
I can't say it.
Larry Michael has made a career out of pronouncing it this way. Washy Redskins.
Yeah, because he's busy.
Washy Redskins.
He's got places to be. But Mike, if he were covering the Giants, he would say this to you. Am I the only one who thinks they can run the table?
No.
Yeah. Well, you know, that broadcast, which, by the way, coming back recently, I listened to the Redskins game in the car with the TuneIn app.
Sportsman.
I was listening to the Redskins, and so I got the pleasure of listening to, let me see if I got the principals, because you guys live in the town.
Right.
It's now Larry Michael.
Yes.
Right. It's Chris Cooley.
Yes.
Yes.
Correct. It's Doc Walker on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Not a medical doctor.
And then when Sonny, like, Jurgensen feels like showing up for a game, it's Sonny Jurgensen.
Home games,
right? That's
Mike.
That's the
yes.
broadcast.
Home games. Home games.
So I'm listening, and you got Chris Cooley, who I think Chris Cooley gets better and better as a color guy.
Yeah.
But it is not, let's just say with Chris Cooley, it's not his natural calling. He is not a natural broadcaster.
No, but it's nice.
Never has been.
It's nice when it's not all X's and O's and it's, hey, can somebody put mustard on this hot dog, please?
Yeah. So Chris Cooley and Tanner's a friend of the show.
Yeah.
And so we've got a connection there, and I'm not going to sit there and throw darts at him. However, and Rick Doc Walker is a friend, and I've known Rick Doc Walker for years and a good guy. But Rick Doc Walker was battling laryngitis. When I was coming down, listening to the Sunday game, and it was, you could tell that he wasn't feeling well.
Right.
And so it's like every single thing he would say, he would punctuate. He, like, if the Redskins would do something successfully, which they were doing, he said, now we got to smash him. Now we got to, pound it, pound it. Pound
him. Great impression. Great impression.
It's like, all right, Redskins now, and it's now's the time. It's third down and four. The Redskins have an opportunity to run up the score just a little bit. Now's the time. We got to step on their throats. Step on their throats, Larry. Step on their throats right now. And I was just saying.
I actually have a tape of him from the game, Mike.
Okay, let's listen.
This is a Rick Doc Walker.
No, you're not going to play Louis Armstrong and compare him to Rick Doc Walker.
With the gravelly voice.
Racist
douche. No, not racist.
It doesn't. You don't understand.
Let me ask you a question.
Stop it. What is wrong with
and you're,
God,
and,
he is so and sheltered.
And your lily white life.
Yep.
Where do you see this not going wrong for us as a show?
It's a gravelly voice guy and another famous gravelly voice guy.
Yeah, but do you see how you could...
Do you see how to talk?
If you just had the voice and not the intro, where someone's doing the Charleston, basically, leading up to that voice.
Hello.
Mike, let me ask you a question. As someone who has tuned in...
Yes, go ahead, showstopper.
What, to the Redskins... Can you give an impression or your take on Sonny's energy level for this game?
No, I have to say this.
Okay.
And I have friends in every corner.
In low places.
Larry Michael is somebody I would give a hug to if I saw him in a restaurant.
Good guy.
Sonny Jurgensen wouldn't remember me, so it wouldn't matter. Chris Cooley doesn't know who I am. Rick Doc Walker, I would say hi, introduce myself, and we would give each other a hug. That broadcast is the greatest train wreck in the history of sports. It is the most unprofessional broadcast you will ever hear, and it is carrying on the great tradition of Sam Huff, where it's just it's Homer Central and
would
that's
you rather
what
have
sells.
Sam
what's that
would you rather have Sam Huff in the booth?
You know what, let me tell you what I love it. Let me tell you why I love Sam, and I love what the guys are doing right now, because if you're a Redskins fan and you grew up in the area, that's the way it ought to be. I'm listening to a homogenized, sanitized Red Sox broadcast now,
mm-hmm.
where I can't even tell. Oh, they brought Johnny Gomes in, the lovable bearded guy that played for the Red Sox. They're bringing in all these different guys because Jerry Remy's sick again, and they used to have Don Orsillo and Jerry Remy. The best broadcast team you will ever get is a stellar, amazing play-by-play guy like Vin Scully or Don Orsillo, and then you put him next to a professional broadcaster who was an athlete.
Mm.
Not an athlete who decided to become a broadcaster.
Right.
A natural like Jerry Remy, Pat Summerall, people like that, that actually can really get it done. When you otherwise, you know what I'll take? Because it's so rare to get that in sports broadcasting. Throw all the homers together on the Redskins broadcast.
Sure.
If you're a fan and you're listening to that, you don't care. You want to hear for guys.
That's what you
want to
hear.
For your team. If you can't get the best, you might as well get that. Red Sox now have this, all these guys that talk like this. All these guys that talk like this. And it's just so sanitized. And then the dumb jock trying to be intelligent, you need passion. You need passion and smarts. And it's hard to find. Great color guys in sports are very, very difficult to find. It's really, you look on the national stage. How many guys do you listen to on a weekly basis on an NFL telecast where you say, oh, I'm going to tune into that broadcast because Troy Aikman's doing it? I'm going to tune into that broadcast because Phil Sims is doing it.
Right.
It's like there's no passion a la John Madden. You got to bring a little personality.
I do. If I'm being honest, when Theismann's in there, whether you like him or not as a broadcaster, there is something cool about seeing him up there for the local.
Joe Theismann, though, cut his teeth with the old school pros, real pros. And Joe Theismann, you know, one of the greatest interviews in radio. You can ask Joe Theismann two questions and do a 30-minute interview.
Oh, I've seen leave the studio during an answer. I have. I've seen him ask Theismann a question, take his headphones off, and leave the studio.
That's right.
It's happened.
But remember, next time I'm in D.C., I'm taking Rob out to Clyde's, and we're going to go bump into Rick Doc Walker, and I'll tell Rick what Rob did. Anyway, we'll take a break here.
He'll love it because it was funny.
Your picture, by the way, still up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm at the Palm. Somebody sent me it via Twitter. They said, look.
Oh, that's sweet.
I was like, sweet. He's still here.
That's awesome.
I can walk into the place. Palm, order myself one of those giant lobsters, and look up and say, who's that child on the wall? We'll take a break and come back with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. I like to steal your book. Caution, ladies and gentlemen, the promo starts now.
Hey.
O'Reilly here. Hey, did you know the Mike O'Mara Show is always looking for interns? Did you know that? Huh? Did you know that? Well, you should. Of course they are. You know, interns, they show up, they get coffee, they help out. You know the drill. And if you're a college kid and you want to get your foot in the broadcast door, just email your resume and a letter of intent to Rob, that's with two B's, at MikeO'MaraShow.com. That's Spiewak Kid. He's your liaison. Spiewak! Best of all, every intern at TMOS is treated with respect and class, a professional environment. And if that part doesn't matter to you, I have a podcast too. Come intern at The Factor, where things can get a little handsy. Know what I mean? We'll do it live! Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. This is an opportunity we tell all of our listeners about, where we mobilize the TMOS family to look for advertisers for us.
Yes.
The best thing about TMOS listeners, they are like family. If you have a product to advertise or a message to spread, the best place to do it might be right here. Think of all the members of your extended TMOS family that you'll reach. Let the Mike O'Mara Show get your message out so thousands of like-minded folks can hear it and act on it. Think about Cornerstone First Financial. That's an example
Great
of this
success
kind of advertising.
Story.
You're going to reach thousands of relatives you didn't even know you had. It's easy to get your message out. Just email us at sales@MikeO'MaraShow.com. Big or small business, you will be treated like family. One big, arguing, screaming, dysfunctional family.
That's us.
Again, that's sales@MikeO'MaraShow.com. Let us spread your word, ladies and gentlemen.
News.
Yesterday, President Trump felt the need to launch a new attack, and this time, a target we've been talking about lately, Facebook. He tweeted, quote, Facebook was always anti-Trump. The networks were always anti-Trump, hence fake news. New York Times apologized, and Washington Post were anti-Trump. Collusion? He's all over the
Shut place. Up.
What?
Yeah, most Americans now poll, I think Quinnipiac, I'm not sure, came out today. And, not favorability, unfavorability, fitness for the office, over 50%.
Help Puerto Rico.
You know, he'd be good in the Redskins booth.
He would.
Yeah.
So Mark Zuckerberg posted a lengthy response on Facebook, of course. He said, quote, Trump says Facebook is against him. Liberals say we help Trump. Both sides are upset about ideas and content they don't like. That's what running a platform for all ideas looks like. Despite claims that Russia used Facebook to spread fake news that helped the Trump campaign, Zuckerberg believes the site's main contribution to the election was the spread of legit information. But he added, quote, after the election, I made a comment that I thought the idea of misinformation on Facebook changed the outcome of the election was a crazy idea. This is all over the place. Poorly written. Calling that crazy was dismissive, and I regret it. This is too important an issue to be dismissive. So
you know why it's crazy, Mike? There's a couple things. Hey, it was initially crazy for him because as a CEO, the dollars that came into that social media network from political campaigns was massive.
Sure.
Absolutely right. Massive. So the latest news that came out that in Facebook and a handful of other social networks and internet companies are giving the information over to the federal government about certain possible Russian ties. Russian ties to some of these influence campaigns. Facebook stock went down right away. Because what people are realizing is that all this money now may be scrutinized. So you can't just buy on exchange that's kind of that's open to everybody, right? That's unregulated.
You're not going to get caught.
That's unregulated, yeah.
Right.
And it's going to be interesting to see traceable. How it all washes out, because I'd like to see what the results are and if there is a significant, because I think because what you're saying is true, all of it's going to come to
I right. took a deeper dive, right. Regardless of what happened in the election. This was such a sophisticated campaign of influence, right? Where whether if it was the Russians, whoever was doing this was targeting Black Lives Matter people. They were targeting white supremacists,
right? Jill Stein, yeah. Trying to get people to vote for her.
Well, they were targeting. What they would do is manipulate what you believe into a candidate's viewpoint, and they would move that meter that way.
Regardless, terrifying when you really think about it.
It really
so
is.
If you, so look, if you like the Black Lives Matter Facebook page, they would take whatever message worked for them, reconfigure it, and put it into your feed.
Target you.
Target you specifically. That's how nice. Sophisticated it was. Yeah.
That,
with
that
the
is
message.
Truly, truly scary. And it's a strange world we live in. We'll have to see what happens with that. But, all I know is the seat of political discourse for the election for me was Facebook. That's what I watched every single day. That's where we would see all of it. Tiger Woods is only 41 years old, and it might sound crazy, but he doesn't know if he'll ever play competitive golf again. This is a very sad story. Tiger's been having problems with his back. He had the fusion surgery. He hasn't played since withdrawing from a tournament in February. He's finally starting to do some putting, but he has a long way to go. He said he feels good now, but when asked if there's a possibility that he's never able to make it back, he said, quote, yeah, definitely. When an athlete says that to me, I think that might be 60% done.
Yeah,
that's what I think about
I saw
hope
the,
I'm wrong.
I saw the clip. He looks a little broken. He looks like he's in bad shape.
It's he sad. Added, quote, I don't know what my future holds. My timetable is based on what my surgeon says. I'm still training. I'm getting stronger, but I certainly don't have my golf muscles trained because I'm not doing anything golf-related. A man at that age that can't practice what he was great at is a sad figure, and I still would love to see a comeback. I really, God, it would be so special, but it's not happening. Now, on the other hand, I don't care if these people ever go away or come back. On the upcoming episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Kim Kardashian takes the gloves off and goes after...
Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a joke. I was a tease. That was a little bit of a tease that I did. There are people that are going, what did she say? I don't care. Oh, I don't care what she says, what they do.
I wonder why she was wearing gloves.
Send me the clip.
You're a Kardashian fan. According to a new study, we just aren't wired to work that long. Psychologists found that our brains can only focus on a single task for a few hours at a time.
Mike.
Oh, Mike. I'm sorry. Oh, anyway, after that, it needs a break, and the data backs that up. The average person says they're only productive for 2 hours and 53 minutes at work. That's everybody, by the way.
All day?
Yes. The rest of the time, they're either working slower than their peak speed or totally slacking off.
That's fair.
I think it's very fair.
I remember when we were on the air on Big O and Dukes,
right.
We had people call in, and they would tell us where they would nap at work because there was a secret place and in every office. One guy said he used to get inside his filing cabinet.
Remember George Costanza had a special desk at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Remember with a little bunk in it.
Didn't Chad like sleep in a tub at Home Depot?
Yeah, he would have him use a pallet jack to get him to the very top, and they would all take turns taking naps in the tubs.
Naps up in the tub where nobody could see him.
One time I had a part-timer that was going to replace me on a weekend shift at JFK, and he came in and checked in and then went and fell asleep in the fax room with all the lights off. I couldn't find him for 4 hours. I had to work four additional hours because I didn't know where he was.
Slackers. So maybe we should really only have a 3-hour workday so we can get Ian hammered through our... What?
We do.
Not all of us. Not all of us.
Oh, okay.
Neither do you.
It might be an 8-hour by the time I get through this news story. Just hammer through our stuff like a machine and then go home and let our brains regroup. I think going home and working is a good idea. All right, moving right along. Here we go.
I don't get it.
The website Daily Dot just dug through Halloween costumes on Amazon. Here are some of the weird ones. A jellyfish costume that's a big shiny mushroom hat with lights built in and sparkly streamers hanging down. I like jellyfish costume. Jellyfish costume.
Jellyfish.
I'm going to go to trick or treat. I'm going to be a jellyfish. Look at my tentacles.
Costume for a mom and her infant where the mom is a chef and the baby is a lobster she's about to cook. These are funny. Number three, an inflatable centaur costume. You go shirtless and wear these big brown inflatable horse legs. That's funny to me. Number four, a literal couch potato. Why do I think I've seen this one before?
I think it's been around.
A couch potato costume where you dress as a potato with a small couch wrapped around your body. And number five, a bright pink flamingo costume that wraps around your head and waist. That's not fun.
No, that's
not unique. Or number one for me would be the jellyfish.
I like to die. You know what I seen on my road? I saw a man.
Jellyfish.
He's dressed as a jellyfish.
Jellyfish. And now a little something something. Cops in Colorado responded to a possible break-in. 45-year-old Leonard Simonini was at his home when they got there, and they thought he was the burglar. So they asked him to step out of the house. Well, he started shooting fireworks at them.
Oh.
Because Leonard ain't quite right. At that point, they ran outside. The cops did.
Sure.
Then he followed them out, and he shot more fireworks at them. So they released a police dog, which chased him back inside. One of the fireworks caught his house on fire and burned it down. His house was not completely destroyed, but badly damaged by the fire. Unfortunately, this is the sad part.
Yes.
Where's the sad stuff? Hold on. Here we go. His cat didn't make it out. He's facing charges of arson, cruelty to animals, and resisting arrest. He was not in possession of any whisker biscuits or honky lighters, but based on the fate of the cat, police do think that he had at least one whistling kitty chaser. There we go. Thank you very much.
Mike, maybe the best one of the year.
Thank you very much. We'll take a break. Do a little research for that.
I like that,
you. Had to dive deep on that one. Yeah, little time on the internet. Oh, my fingers are tired. We'll take a break and come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whistling Kitty Chaser.
That's it, yeah.
Hello. This is former intern Ashley. You may remember me by my adorable laugh and witty banter. I'm here to talk to you blood-sucking leeches about the bonus show. I was on the show, and I'm still a broke college kid. So I could probably get away with just listening to Mike O'Mara Show for free, but I don't. I subscribe to the bonus show because it's cheap, funny, sometimes thought-provoking. Buy it, bloodsuckers. It's worth a few bucks a year and keeps food on the table for little Michael. He's a growing little boy. Needs to eat. Buy the bonus show, dicks. Ashley out.
Ashley, wow. That's
opinionated, very opinionated.
Ashley's so husky. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, listen, everyone. Shopping Amazon through our website, it's the hot new trend. And all the cool kids are doing it. Cool kids, like Steve Ham. The Ham family.
I don't think he is one of them. I think he's another Ham. I don't think
this
he's a Van Ham.
How many Hams this are out there?
Shut up and listen, Oscar. For once, try it.
Steve Ham.
He's not a Vienna Ham.
Don't get mad at me.
24 tubes of Loctite premium polyurethane construction adhesive. Don't get that mixed up with the hand lotion. Amy Larson bought a 25-pound slam ball and a pistol holster. Badass.
Nice.
Peter Swenson bought hot tub chemicals and used Amazon to subscribe to Biblical Archaeology magazine. I bet the crossword puzzle's a bitch. These are all Rob jokes. Stephen Craig bought toilet paper and cologne. And ladies, he's single.
Nice.
Yes, shopping Amazon.com through our portal changes nothing for you. We're making a lot of people famous. You can be on this show with your Amazon purchases. Do your shopping at Amazon and please access it via TMOS. Use the app or go through our website. Now go spend money and spend a lot of it like that guy that bought all that production equipment.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That was fantastic.
Thank
By
you.
The way, guy down here in Fort Myers, Florida, targeting video and audio production houses.
Oh.
I'm ready for you. Anyway, without further ado, come and get me. Let's open up the audio ball. Rob Spiewak tape. Come on, bring it. Say hello to my little friends. Go ahead,
a
Rob.
Cat burglar, and that's all he's doing?
They showed the, you know, because it was a video production house, yeah. They had your you know, kind of nest cams,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
all over the place. The big, tall guy, and you see him, like, walking over to the camera, and he targeted all this video production equipment,
Dick.
And they got him. He got good pictures of the guy, but he was wearing a ski mask.
With the passing of Hugh Hefner, this is a great chance to look back on the life of Larry Flynt. When Hugh decided to remove all the nudity from Playboy...
Yes.
Larry Flynt said it was a bad idea. So now, as we remember some of the great titans of skin mags, here's Larry Flynt. I always like hearing what he has to say.
Oh, you know, Hefner's 90 now. I knew he was getting old, but I didn't know he lost his mind. How can you take the most important feature in your magazine and drop it? What it became notorious for. They have always approached Playboy from an artistic point of view because Hefner's background is as an artist.
Now, who would have thought...
I got that. I got what he said.
I do, too.
What he was saying.
I do, too. But who would have thought that Hef would have outlived him?
Yeah. That's because Larry died, what, last year?
No, I... How long has he been... is he dead?
I don't know.
I think he's alive.
It's your story.
He's alive. To the best of my knowledge, he's alive.
So you said how Hef would have outlived him.
Yeah, it's amazing that
you just said who would have thought
then
that
I
Hef
misspoke.
Would have outlived
yeah.
him.
I misspoke.
And I'm asking you whether Larry Flynt, and you're yep, because you don't want to let anybody else talk. Did Hef outlive Larry Flynt, or is Larry Flynt still alive?
I think Larry Flynt died.
I thought Larry Flynt was alive. Pony, can you look into
this,
Yeah,
I'm looking
please?
Right now, and it looks like
Might
he's still alive.
Might be a real good idea if you're bringing that to have that knowledge.
He's still alive?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Larry Flynt is still alive.
Still alive.
So the statement would have been, who would have thought that Larry Flynt would
That made more
Hef?
Sense because he was shot. He did go
is
through all
you,
of that.
Is that what you meant to say?
I wish I had said it that way.
God. Okay. Wow. All right. Just trying to help. Just trying to help here.
Well, I'm glad we got it cleared up. Okay. Hugh Hefner, this is a very great piece of tape. This is older. I think this is from the 60s. And I think this holds a lot of water today, maybe even more so than when he said it. So keep in mind, Mike said it. He's a very polarizing figure, Hugh Hefner. Everyone has an opinion. But what he says here is pretty smart.
There are things within that magazine that I might say also are, quote, going too far. Where we separate is, you want to suppress and eliminate the things in society that you think, in terms of ideas and the exchange of ideas,
well, we haven't gotten
that are going too far. I want to live in a society in which people can voice unpopular opinions, because I know that as a result of that, a society grows and matures.
Just a thought.
Yeah, and pretty prophetic back in its day.
I believe
think
so.
That, he had a lot to say, and safe home, Hugh Hefner. Mm. You know, but by and large, when I get right down to it, I like the centerfolds.
Yeah.
Oh, who didn't?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially the lady in front of the fireplace.
How did she not
there
burn
was,
her tuchus?
There was more than one of those, wasn't there?
Well, all I know is I read that magazine probably a lot, late into the night. And by the time I was done, I was bushed. Sorry.
All right, then let's talk about Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly has had her show after the Today Show. Today will be her fourth episode.
She is a fish out of water.
Yep.
They have not found a place for her. Let me tell you what it is. They had the. Are you going to play the viral video where she fought with Jane Fonda?
Yes, this is the Jane Fonda tape.
Mm. Okay. Now listen to this. This is not that big a battle, but
you hear Jane Fonda. Megyn Kelly on the Fox network got away with being the uber cute, kind of smarmy, snarky, I'm going to tackle these political people. And it worked beautifully because there are a lot of women on Fox that do that. When you put her in a different forum and you try to make her mainstream, her snark doesn't really follow.
She doesn't come off genuine.
It doesn't. It comes right out. And she's becoming rapidly unpopular. And I want to see how this exchange translates on audio, because I thought it was just like, well, wasn't that egregious? She asked Jane Fonda about plastic surgery.
I haven't heard this. Okay. I haven't heard this audio.
Let me tell you what you think. But it's Megyn Kelly just... Look, yes, Jane Fonda, Robert Redford, an icon, but it's a little snarky, and you can tell that Jane Fonda doesn't dig it.
Exactly. Here we go.
I read that you said you felt you're not proud to admit that you've had work done. Why not?
We really want to talk about that now?
Well, one of the things people think about when they look at you is how amazing you look.
Well, thanks. Good attitude, good posture, take care of myself. But let me tell you why I love this movie that we did, Our Souls at Night. Rather than plastic surgery.
Back to that, huh?
She steers the interview because it's that is 10 o'clock happy talk, and that's not where she belongs.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's not, it's misguided.
You know, I have to, I have to say the audio doesn't do that justice. Because
Jane Fonda was put off by the question.
It's the body language. I've watched a little, I didn't see this, but I watched enough to know that when she's even on camera on that set.
Yes.
Even her first show, because I was like, let me see what this is all about, was a celebration of her and what she's done and a plug of the book and then walking around the set like she's a new girl.
And do you find her ill at ease? I find her ill at ease.
She doesn't look comfortable.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Doesn't look comfortable there. And I just don't know whether the... And then the whole misguided... are they still doing the Sunday night thing with her?
No, that's over. That's over.
And that was a bust.
That was a horrible bust.
So, I mean, Megyn Kelly, I remember when she was... Back when she was doing the debates, she was America's sweetheart. Everybody's like, oh, poor Megyn Kelly. And then, bam, she's just getting... into this world. I don't know. It's weird. I just don't understand.
You have high expectations when the millions of dollars are put in those contracts.
Yeah.
To say,
fall from a little bit of a fall from grace. We'll have to see how she does ratings wise. But I don't know, man. It just felt weird.
She has done three episodes and only two of them have caused controversy. So let's see if the fourth episode today is better. Steven Seagal is a brilliant actor and a wonderful man and good friends with Vladimir Putin. And as a matter of fact, Vladimir Putin has given him citizenship in Russia. That's how close they are. And he was asked in an interview if Putin actually did meddle in the election.
Every country is involved in espionage. Every single country. The American spy, the British spy, the Russian spy. We all spy on each other. Let's be honest. However, for anyone to think that Vladimir Putin had anything to do with fixing the elections or even that the Russians have that kind of technology is stupid.
You can take that to the bank, and I want to close with this, the proper pronunciation of a Russian leader's name.
Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin.
You think they sit around?
Vladimir Putin.
And watch Hard to Kill.
Putin.
Exactly.
Yeah, topless.
Yeah.
And in my action adventure picture, I will eat the food that I effing please.
Vladimir Putin.
That is your magic audio vault. Have a great Thursday, everybody.
That's it, everybody. Thanks. That's it. We got it. Another episode done. TMOS. Don't forget to update our brand new app today and unlock the live 24/7 TMOS stream. All messages for our weekly mailbag can be sent to Rob with two B's at MikeOMaraShow.com. Mailing address TMOS Box 32101 Washington, D.C. 20007. Thanks for listening and join us again for the best part of your day, The Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.